Welcome to another episode of the Neon Belly. It feels good to be saying that. It's been a while since I've done one of these. Definitely the longest that it's been. It's been about a month, and I couldn't let May go by without dropping one. I've had a bunch of life changes this month. I've ended up moving, not totally unexpected, but definitely on a faster timeline than I expected. And trying to close out a few things, working a ton. I am teaching more jiu-jitsu than ever, which is awesome. And I have a project I'm working on that I'll talk a little bit more about at the end of the episode here. But the biggest thing I wanted to do is just kind of knock the cobwebs off and get rid of some of the rust and just at least bang out a short episode to talk about this Ty Rotolo and Gary Tonin match that happened last week, because I have some thoughts on it. I saw some takes that I really agreed with, and I saw some takes that I didn't agree so much with. And just to kick it off, if anybody didn't see this, Ty Rotolo and Gary Tonin had a match at 1FC in Singapore. Ty Rotolo's brother Cade was on the card as well and got a victory over Shinya Aoki. But Ty Rotolo versus Gary Tonin was the big grappling match on the card that people were paying attention to. And Ty beat Gary Tonin via Darce choke in a little bit less than 2 minutes. And this was a match that I really had been looking forward to for a while. Ty had been asking for this match, I believe, for a couple of years. It may have been scheduled at a point before and fell through or something. I'm not entirely sure, but a lot of people thought that I got the impression that a lot of people thought that Gary Tonin was gonna maybe win this match a little bit handily based on some of the opinions I saw online after the fact. I thought it was gonna be a super close match. I actually thought that Ty would probably get a decision, and I didn't expect a submission that fast. And I guess I'm not that surprised if it was going to be a submission that it would be a Darce, since that's probably Ty Rotolo's best submission. But on the flip side of that, I think Gary Tonin probably has the best Darce choke defense that I've ever seen from any modern grappler. I definitely can't think of anybody that's been in more Darces than Gary. I've studied a lot of Gary's Darce defense stuff, both to learn the defense myself and learned how to counteract some of that defense on offense. And excuse me, one of the things I saw during the match that kind of surprised me was, at face value, it sort of looked like Gary almost allowed the darce to happen. And I saw this opinion being echoed a little bit on social media, on Reddit and in other places. But if you go back and you watch the match, Ty really does a great job of using his right knee and his right shin to sort of pin Gary's left arm, driving it towards the fence. And it really sort of kept Gary kind of stuck on his side, almost like on his shoulders and onto his right side. And Ty was able to kind of clock around the head and punch the choke into place. Once it was locked up, I actually thought Gary did a pretty decent job at trying to defend. On his escapes instructional, he says that he thinks, you know, the darce is one of the few chokes on there. I believe the rear naked choke, and maybe that's it, is one of the few things on there that he says he thinks late stage is almost impossible to get out of. I saw him making space with his hips. I saw him framing against the legs with his arm. I saw him not only trying to get, you know, to his knees to create space, but also trying to flip after that. And Ty was just able to latch onto the legs really well and just kind of prevent that escape. And his finishing details have gotten so much better in the last couple of years. I actually remember watching Ty Rotolo at the 2019 ADCC, and I would never tell Ty this in person at the time, you know, but I just remember thinking he looked incredible. And I just remember thinking, I was like, oh, if he just had slightly sharper finishing details on the darce, you know, I think he could have put away Kennedy Maciel and maybe even Paulo Miao. He had both of them in deep darces, and man, I mean, Cade and Ty in the past couple of years, they've sharpened up those details immensely. I don't think there's anybody they can't finish if they get to lock that up. So I really wanted to try to give props to both guys on this episode, because I have seen a lot of, putting one up to put down the other, or vice versa. And I don't know. I think people are reading a little bit too much into this match, more specifically in regards to how they talk about Gary. I don't think that I've seen some takes like, oh, Gary should just retire. And I mean, I just think that's so ridiculous. You know, Gary's only 30 years old. He doesn't have a ton of mileage on him as far as an MMA career goes. He hasn't, like, I mean, yes, he got a knockout loss, but it's not like he's just, you know, 38 or 39 or 40, who's just like an MMA veteran that's been in a bunch of wars. In his grappling career, he's gotten better every single year. I mean, if you look at his ADCCs from 2013, which was his first one, you know, to 2015, to 2017, to 2019. The 2019 is the best one he's ever done. And that was a year where people have short memories. I don't know how much people remember this, but Gary had taken a lot of time from straight grappling even back then. And he had been highly focusing on MMA going into the 2019 ADCC. And back then I was telling people that I thought the increased focus on MMA would actually help him, and that sharpened wrestling, I assumed that he would have sharpened wrestling. I thought that would be a really big factor. And then if you look at like the match with he and Canuto that year, even the match with him and Dante Leon, there's some awesome wrestling. I think that really paid off. And I think writing Gary off is a little bit silly, you know, just because he lost to a kid that is, you know, probably top 10 pound for pound in the world right now. Super active, going to be one of the, you know, favorites to medal in the 77 kilogram, you know, Ty's doing 88. And I don't have the list in front of me on who all is doing 88 kilograms, but I, you know, if Ty places in medals, I'm not going to be surprised in the least. You know, he's a beast, one of the best guys in the world right now. I don't think it's a case of, I saw some other comments that were saying, well, the game has just like passed Gary by. I don't really agree with that either. You know, I think Gary's on the cutting edge. I think Ty is on the cutting edge. And I think that when elite folks go up against each other, sometimes it ends in a submission. And I think that's what we saw. I would love to see them run it back at some point. I saw a mention of maybe Cade going up against Gary. I know in the build up to the match, Gary insinuated that he thought Ty was a slightly better of the two brothers. And in the post fight interview, I believe Cade even mentioned that and suggested that Ty go against Shinya Aoki and he, as in Cade, go against Gary Tonin. So, yeah, I just wanted to give some thoughts on that match real quick. I think it was really sick jiu-jitsu. I wish it had gone a little longer. I love what ONE FC is doing. I think they're doing a really great job by signing some of the coolest and most exciting grapplers and giving them like a really big stage to perform. I also really like watching grappling in a cage. I know it's a little bit different. I think it changes some dynamics, and I think we saw it play out in this match. I think that if that match happened in a ring, or I'm sorry, on a mat, I think the dynamics would have been a little bit different. You know, when Gary was inverting to defend the guard pass, I think the fence got in his way a little bit. And on the same side of the coin, or on the flip side of the coin, I think Ty did a masterful job of taking Gary down close to the fence and passing in a way where he sort of forced Gary to invert in the direction where the fence was going to be. So I think Ty really used a lot of strategy and intelligence right there. And I saw Cade Rotolo in his match also use the cage very intelligently. He almost did like a grappling version of that Anthony Pettis Showtime kick. If anybody's listening that doesn't follow MMA super close, Anthony Pettis had a really famous kick he did against Ben Henderson in WEC where he like ran along the side of the fence and jumped off and roundhouse kicked Ben Henderson in the face. And Cade Rotolo did kind of the same thing against Shinya Aoki. He ran up the side of the cage and jumped off, but he like pulled clothes guard with it. And I just think the Rotolos are, they're so dope, man. I mean, I think that if they want to do MMA, I think they're already showing a really good base knowledge of like how to use the cage and some strategy things, along with just having like hyper technical jujitsu and being super game and tough and just elite competitors in that realm. I know they both have expressed interest in doing MMA, and I think that they would crush it. You know, I'm looking forward to it. I hope I always get to see him grapple. They're two of my favorite grapplers in the world. But yeah, after seeing this and after seeing just how they use the cage and just how ferocious they are, I would like to see them in MMA. I if they could develop some cool striking, I don't know. I think the sky is definitely the limit for those kids. I think that the Rotolos and Mika Galvao are going to be the future of that general weight class. And I think Gary Tonin still, despite this loss, I think Gary still has the potential to look really awesome this ADCC as well. And I'm more excited for this ADCC than any tournament. I'm not going to go on way too much longer. I know this is a short episode, but I just wanted to kind of break the inertia. It's been about a month since I've done one, and I just wanted to get something out. I did want to say there's a project that we'll be launching in June. We have the domain name Neon Belly Online, and so far the plan is to start off myself, one of my coaches, Cody Malte, Neil Ritchie, who's an awesome black belt here in North Carolina, and Kevin Sasquatch Satterfield, who's an awesome brown belt, just got some really cool submission wins at the ADCC trials that just passed here. The four of us are going to be filming some instructional material. We've been filming some this past month. We're going to put some stuff up on this website, and we'll continue to release some instructional stuff. And then hopefully once some time goes by here, hopefully maybe by the end of this year and definitely next year, I want to travel around a little bit and start, you know, collaborating with other people and getting other people's instructional material onto this platform and getting stuff out to everybody and just trying to share more jujitsu with more people. And I appreciate everybody that has listened to everything I've done with this podcast for this whole year. And I'm sorry to have kept you waiting, but things are a little more back on track now that things are starting to get settled down and life is starting to get a little bit more kind of caught up and in place. So I really love and appreciate everybody so, so much. I'll drop another one soon here, and I'll keep everybody posted on the Neon Belly Online project. And if you have any ideas or suggestions, feel free to shoot me anything, anytime. If anybody needs help with anything, anytime, you can reach out to me at Drew Darce on Instagram, and I'll do my best to help out. So yeah, I'll talk to everybody soon. Have a great week. Peace.